I wanna grow up, maybe if I did.
Why so serious?
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Well, welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think the over-under is on episodes before I stop stepping on the intro?
Well, given that today, as we got set to record, you were like, how do I know? Oh, yeah, you're going to play an intro. That's how I know we'll be starting. I think it might be a little while still.
Yeah, I think we may have six or seven more at least. Man, it's tricky. All right, welcome to the toy department.
I'll take Derek partial Madden. Responsibility yep. for the overlong intro, which I keep meaning to cut at least one soundbite out of to just shorten it a little bit.
And we'll get around to it.
We will.
We don't know, by the way. We have some time off because we don't know if there's going to be a show next week with holiday schedules and all that. It looks like that could be tough. I'll be flying around on planes on Wednesday when we usually tape the show. So
I feel like there's like a I should have had a soundbite ready for that about flying on planes, like flying my G6 or something. Should have dropped right when you said that.
Little John Denver leaving on a jet plane.
I think that says something about the two of us, that I went flying my G6 and you went John Denver.
I guess. Is your contention that the G6 song is hip?
No, I guess it's probably not hip, but it is hipper than John Denver.
See, I think that G6 song is just as uncool as John Denver and just in a completely different way.
Okay, yeah, I can't necessarily debate that with you.
All right. We're going to talk about Star Wars today. A little bit more Steph Curry talk at some point. And I want to talk about the year in Google. Because I think
the year in Google.
Interesting, yeah.
Okay.
But let's start with Star Wars, since that's the thing on everybody's mind. If you listen to this station that I work for, 93X, we're doing a premiere on Friday. We've been giving away tickets all week.
Ooh.
And this feels like... I mean, we've all had some awareness, obviously, that more Star Wars was coming. But now shit's getting real.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, it is.
People have seen the movie. People, you know, that are out there, everyone is sort of talking about it. It's like, this is a thing that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but me and most of the people I've talked to about the movie have taken this approach, right? Because obviously there's a lot of buzz and there's a lot of anticipation. But it's not quite the, like, oh, my God, it's coming in kind of anticipation, right? A lot of people, I feel like me, are, like, wounded maybe by what this series has done in the past. Like, you know, like a jilted ex-lover or something, right? Where I still vividly remember the experience of waiting online for The Phantom Menace. For, I don't know, it was maybe 3 hours on opening night.
Yeah.
I went to a similar radio type event, but there was still a line for some reason. I'm not sure how that worked. Regardless, I waited and I saw that movie and it sucked so hard. And I was just so mad about wasting a night of my life and getting all excited about this that I will not allow myself to get too fired up about Star Wars. Do you feel the same way?
First of all, I think that's smart. You know, What's the expression? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice. Well, the point is, don't get fooled again.
thank you, W.
You're welcome. So yes, that element is real, and I feel it a little. I have been trying to remember because the one thing about this one that I feel like is different is that the buzz ahead of it is so positive, and that the conversation in the zeitgeist around it is that conversation you just kind of had, which is, well, we've been burned once before, so we want to make sure this one is sound, at least passable before we start totally freaking out about it.
It's weird because I feel like you're right that there's a lot of like objective evidence that this movie could actually be good.
Yeah, but the problem is...
a number of reviews, right?
Yeah, the problem is I don't really remember if it was like that last time. I think looking back, obviously, it's easy to remember nothing but stinkiness from the entire trilogy, you know, the second slash first trilogy, if you will, 1 through 3. So I can't actually remember leading up to the first one. I think most of the buzz was pretty positive. And while we saw previews that looked cool and we didn't realize it was going to be this weird glossy Disney thing that stunk. So yes, there is some of that, but the combination of a few things, whether it's trusting J.J. Abrams or, and I, you know, I've heard this mentioned recently and I could not agree more, rebooting a cherished franchise like this around young, new, and notably black and female faces suggests an awareness that George Lucas lacks that was a huge part of the failure of the last one.
I feel like the failure of the last one, you know, on the Lucas end was a little bit more about falling down the kiddie hole maybe than not understanding the constraints of modern society, you know?
Yes, but I think it's a general lack of understanding from George Lucas of what the important characteristics of Star Wars were, which is strange to say, but he seemed to have lost touch with the spirit of the creativity and the like freshness of the first trilogy, which obviously I was a zygote during, so I'm speaking mostly from a historical perspective, but there was no soul at all in those next three movies. And while it's not a direct link from that to like demographical awareness, I think the fact that they were aware this time represents a general awareness that I feel good about. Does that make sense?
No, I mean, that does make some sense. And I almost sort of wonder, because, you know, I get it. Like, when I sit there and think about it, I'm like, well, J.J. Abrams, I trust J.J. Abrams. He hasn't led me wrong too many times. You know, cast looks good. There's a connection. You know, you've got some of the original actors.
Yep.
And you know, just from where we are in the story, there's more of a connection to the original trilogy than the first movies we're going to have. So that, you know, you don't feel like you're starting completely fresh from a plot standpoint. Like, there's a lot of reasons to feel optimistic about them, about this movie, including actual people seeing it and saying it's good.
Yes.
And yet, I still can't let myself do it.
But I think that's smart.
Like, was it so bad? Was the first one so bad? Or am I just remembering it that way?
You mean Phantom Menace?
Phantom Menace.
Yeah, it was so bad. It was that bad. It was that bad. And not, you know, we whine in retrospect a lot about the little things, but big picture, that was a terrible film. I mean, terrible. It didn't make enough sense. It brought in all these idiotic things like midichlorians, and the kid was obnoxious as you can imagine, and Jar Jar Binks was a thing. I mean, it was a terrible movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It really was terrible.
Yeah.
It's not just the way I remember it.
No.
I don't think I even saw, I think maybe I saw the next one, but with, like, you know, not in the theaters.
Yeah.
Just kind of like,
I remember 2 and 3 being significantly better than 1, but still not being good.
Yeah. I felt so burned by 1. It's just visceral. And that's really almost all I remember now.
Yeah.
Is just the raw emotion of hating it so much.
It'll be interesting to see if this one goes really well, if they actually try and go back and redo the first three all over again.
And just
eliminate the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones and the Clone Wars, all that stuff, if they just essentially eliminate it from canon.
Well, they've got 2 more movies to do first, but Lord knows we're so out of ideas for the movie-making perspective.
Yeah. They're going to keep going with Star Wars as long as they possibly can.
Right, and it feels like there's so much more cash to be wrung from this cow. I'm mixing my metaphors now.
I like that. No, cash cow, that makes sense.
They'll probably will find a way to do something like that. If Lucas would allow it. Does Lucas have any say?
I think he has very little. And, I was listening to, the Watch podcast, part of the new Bill Simmons network. And there was a story about Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Empire Strikes Back and was brought in along with J.J. Abrams to revamp the script for the current movie. There was a story that he tells in, you know, articles that have been published about going to meet ahead of getting actually brought in, going to meet with George Lucas and one of his people who was like a Disney executive assigned to Lucasfilm. and that Lucas was involved not only in the germination of the idea for this movie, but also in the concept of developing for the future a bunch of other properties, including like a Han Solo movie that's separate and a lot of side ideas. So my understanding is Lucas kind of helped conceive of the new plan for the universe, but he is mostly retired now, and it will be shepherded by J.J. Abrams et al. From here.
Good thing or bad thing that they have a whole plan for the universe?
I think it's a good thing. I think, frankly, lack of a coherent plan that jived with the original trilogy was a big problem with 1 through 3.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, you know, there are more and more people, I feel like, out there who are disconnected from the legacies of the original.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Although,
and
I gotta say,
it'll be interesting to see where the place of this franchise goes.
I do think the love for the franchise from people sort of from my age up long past your age, which are not that far apart, but, you know, what do you think the top end of Star Wars fanatics is? Like 50 right now?
Yeah, probably.
Somewhere around there. So people between 30 and 50 are so dedicated to the original trilogy that I think they actually are showing that to their children rather than 1 through 3. So I think, you know, I hope anyway, and I think based on what I know, that we may kind of, even if they don't redo them, we'll kind of on our own as a viewing public write 1 through 3 out of the canon.
Yeah,
you know,
probably.
Just skip it.
I just wonder what, you know, 15 to 30-year-olds think.
Yeah.
About something like this.
That's a good question. That is an interesting range because
I should probably ask them.
Yeah, well, I don't know any of them. Do you?
Yeah, I do. I work with a few.
Oh, yeah. No, we got
one.
Some here.
I probably ought to like
you.
Figure that out.
All right.
Yeah. I'll ask around. I'll let you know when we find out next week's podcast.
Great.
I do know what people in that generation and really younger think about Steph Curry, though. You talk about a reverence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, Steph Curry has the children of America in the palm of his little hand.
That is arguably an understatement. Here's my story about the permeation, if you will, of Steph Curry. And this is not even what I'm intended to talk about with Steph Curry today, but let's start here. Over the summer, around July 4th, I go home to Chicago most summers, every summer, frankly. And this past year, my dad is doing a bunch of work with like a summer camp thing that's you know, sort of a charity / summer camp / educational thing where he's got all these, you know, some disadvantaged, some just who need a place to spend their days in the summer. This camp that involves some lessons, and he brings in speakers, and they feed everybody breakfast, and it's this whole production. And he asked me, in my capacity as a sports radio professional, to speak to the kids, who are all pretty sporty, about, you know, how I got where I got, which is a less than thrilling story that mostly involves a lot of luck. But obviously, one of the things I talked about was working for the station where the Warriors play and getting to cover the Warriors and Steph Curry. And without fail, every kid in that room from age like 8 to 14 is a Steph Curry maniac.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kids in Evanston, Illinois, North Shore of Chicago, who have a pretty darn good Bulls team with a pretty appealing star in a lot of ways in Derrick Rose and other guys like Joakim Noah.
I thought you were going to say Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler. All these guys, pretty appealing guys. You know, Rose has the Chicago connection, but Joakim Noah is beloved by the young. You know, all these things, and yet all of these kids' favorite players is Steph Curry because what he's doing is like nothing anyone's ever seen before. And he is, in addition to being the best basketball player on the planet as of today, he is relatable. He is friendly. He seems like someone you could go shoot some hoops with in your alley hoop. Like he's almost perfect in a lot of those ways, especially if you're viewing it from an NBA perspective, trying to appeal to children.
Well, it is like the perfect ingredient for something that's going to appeal to kids. He's friendly. He's approachable. His game, has a obviously all this style and flash.
Yeah.
And, you know, the warm-ups with the balls and the shots from everywhere. And then I think on top of that, I mean, I remember, you know, when I was, I don't know, six, seven, eight, that kind of range, and you're just getting into sports. I love the Lakers because I love Magic Johnson. And so when you'd have those like dreams of, oh, you know, someday I'm going to play for the Lakers. Like
sure.
In that dream, I grew to 7 feet. You know what I mean? And I was playing center for
How's
the Lakers.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah, I almost got there. another couple hundred years and I might make it. But yeah, I mean, that was the scenario to be a star on the Lakers. I mean, even if I wanted to play point guard, I needed to be 6'9".
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, whereas Steph, although, you know, I mean, he's over 6 foot.
Yeah, but, he's 6'3", you know, in an incredible shape, but let's put that aside for a minute.
But relative to, you know, a LeBron James or a Dwight Howard, for example, Dwight Howard's unhappy, by the way.
That guy's a laugh.
You know, relative to those guys, he looks like a normal person. And I think that, you know, Steph almost kind of looks like a kid out there. He's short and he's skinny and he's making all this magic. And I think that's a big part of the appeal for the youth of today.
No question. And that leads me right to what I actually want to talk about with Steph today, which is that sort of framing of the appeal has been done a lot. And I think it's totally accurate. And the bounce back. And by the way, in concert with that take on Steph Curry is the idea, whether explicit or just implied, that, oh, well, anybody can do what Steph Curry does. And that's what makes him appealing. And then, of course, again, reasonably, the bounce back to that is stop it. Nobody can do what Steph Curry's doing. His hand-eye coordination is ridiculous. He's the son of a longtime, I believe, multiple all-star basketball player and his mother, who was an athlete in her own right. And, you know, this is not replicatable. However.
Just ask Seth Curry.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. However, when we talk about the revolution of the actual basketball that Steph and, by extension, the Warriors are playing, there's a tendency to say, when you have these transcendent players, you know, that sort of bounce back I just described, like when people talk about, oh, it's a copycat league, that everyone's going to start doing this, Steph is leading a revolution, basketball is changing. A lot of times the response to that is, well, no, it's not, because no one else will have the personnel, the talent to do what he and the Warriors are doing. Same thing when it was Michael Jordan or LeBron. Oh, they're changing basketball. Look at the way this team plays. It's totally different. And the other side says, stop it. There'll never be another Michael Jordan. Other teams can't play like this. But in reality, you get a revolution of sorts anytime you have that transcendent of a player. And, you know, Magic and Bird changed the game in their own way, that sort of created isolation basketball as more of a thing in some respects, and led to Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan was the king of isolation basketball in some ways, although that's kind of misrepresents what the Bulls did. But the view of the public, and I think the NBA to a certain extent, was, oh my God, look at what this guy can do. Now let's go get shooting guards that are incredibly athletic and we'll have our own Michael Jordan. And the result of that, of course, is guys like Vince Carter and Allen Iverson, who were isolation players that were not nearly as good and therefore mostly, I think, in a lot of ways ended up hurting their teams. The Steph revolution, on one hand, you've got the same restrictions of you're not going to have another Steph. On the other hand, I think the way the Warriors play, which sort of blends the Spurs ball movement with a renewed appreciation for three-point shooting, actually is a revolution we can use. And a huge part of that is Steph, but maybe the bigger part is stylistically choosing the three-pointer. And with Steph making the three-pointers so cool for the kids, all of a sudden we're going to see people focused on shooting, which, as exciting as it may be when Steph does it, is really a core fundamental value of NBA basketball. And where someone like Michael Jordan leads kids on the playground to do Michael Jordan things, I think Steph Curry leads them to do Steph Curry things, which on its face, Steph Curry things are much more team basketball friendly and smart, I guess, than Jordan things. And
well, it depends on what things that they copy, though, right? If you know, people copying Jordan led to a lot of dunkers and Harold Miners of the world, guys who maybe had drive games, but missed some of the essential aspects of it. And the scary thing to me about hearing you say that is, are we gonna have a generation of kids coming up pulling up from 30, with the hand in their face?
Well,
because that's something that is singular. That's a good shot, singular to Steph Curry.
That's right. But if kids, I think you're right. Now it is, but I legitimately think that is one of the more replicatable parts of what Steph Curry does. Mm-hmm.
Let me put it this way. You've got maybe the second, third, probably certainly a top five shooter in the NBA in the backcourt with Steph.
Yes.
Right? When Klay pulls up from 35 with the hand in his face, are you feeling good about it?
Obviously not as good as Steph. And I'm not saying that pulling up from 35 with a hand in your face is the idea. Yeah. But
there's a moment with Klay, by the way. It's, when he gets hot enough, you're okay with that. Of those already in the game.
That's
where
right.
You do feel okay. But that's two, three times a season kind of thing. You know what I mean?
But let's just talk about the fact that those two guys are two of the top five shooters, three-point-wise anyway, of all time.
Yep.
And while you're not likely to have a backcourt like that again, the excitement of that backcourt, I think all of a sudden you might really have kids practicing their shooting. Because you can pull up from 35 all you want. If you miss it every time, you're either not a very good basketball player, so this isn't an issue of you getting to the NBA, or you're going to stop and figure something else out. And if shooting from distance with accuracy takes on the importance that being a badass and trying to dunk on people did for the people following Michael Jordan, I think that's a good thing for basketball.
I mean, I worry about people taking their own lessons, because I think what the Warriors are doing works because you combine the ability to shoot the basketball with the understanding and the passing, right? I mean, how many, the Warriors are the best passing team in the league.
Well, that's just it,
though.
And people are watching.
I think people are going to miss that. You know what I mean?
Well, but I don't think so. I think people missed that with the Spurs because they were bored to death, and I wasn't. I loved watching the Spurs, but I think the rep on the Spurs and their success was always, oh, it's all fundamental and boring, and we don't want to watch this. The Warriors are doing the same stuff from a good basketball perspective, moving the ball, being smart, making good decisions, but it's exciting and it's flashy, and I think they're making good shooting and team basketball fashionable. Now, there are always going to be people who take the wrong lessons, but I think it's a lot easier to take good lessons from Steph and the Warriors than it was from, say, Kobe, Shaq and the Lakers or Jordan and the Bulls.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that for sure, and I do think they are making team ball fashionable. I feel like the revolution, at the top level that's coming next is going to be a revolution in reaction to that, much in the same way that the Jeff Van Gundy Knicks were kind of a reaction to those Bulls teams and that kind of
clutch and grab,
right?
We'll have to physically fight them because we can't beat them at basketball. That was the philosophy.
I think people are going to figure out. I don't think it's going to be because, the Warriors personnel group, not just Steph or Klay, but the fact that they have these Swiss Army knives and mm-hmm. Draymond and Iguodala. And that the team is so deep, like they're just really well set up to do this thing that they're doing now in a way that other teams aren't going to be able to replicate. But I do think that someone is going to, make some sort of defensive adjustments at some point that are effective. And that's when the league is going to go nuclear copycat, because I think it'll be probably something that'll be easier to do from a personnel group. And so it's almost like you want to watch the Spurs and see how they, see how Popovich tries to counter this. And that is sort of the one, the dark night on the horizon.
Yeah.
To take it back to Star Wars. for the Warriors, they haven't, as great as this run has been, they haven't played the Spurs yet. And their recent history of the Spurs still isn't great. It's better than it was.
Well, I would say arguably, if you look deeper than 24-1 versus 21-5 or whatever it is, the Spurs are arguably a better team right now, playing better than the Warriors. As silly as that may sound to say, they're playing better defense, and they have just as big a point differential. A 3.5-game difference in the standings is pretty negligible to me.
Well, we know, especially when we know the Spurs throw away some games.
Exactly. You know, they've been resting Tony Parker and Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili, if he even counts as a guy anymore, and they're still comfortably in second place behind the Warriors, and I don't think very intimidated at all. So certainly that's going to be a factor. But I think whether or not they win the title again this year, which I would still make them the odds-on favorite, they're still a big part of how basketball is going to change. And even guys like Draymond Green and Andre Iguodala, I think it's easy to take good lessons as a young person from those guys. Draymond gets just as much joy out of floating a lob to Festus Ezeli as he does from hitting a three-pointer. And I think that's meaningful.
Yeah, it will be. And I think it's going to be interesting to watch. Over under the Warriors streak, but let's just assume it starts tonight. over under on the length of the next Warriors streak. Do you go more than six games?
I think it's right in there. Yeah, I'll say over, but I don't think it's more than 10 in a row over the next couple months. There's going to be some shuffling. There's going to be some resting. You can tell based on the things the Warriors are saying right now that they are in their own way relieved the streak is over so they can have a normal season and not have that on their back.
Yeah. Plus you got Cleveland looming on Christmas Day, which I'm not saying they're going to lose.
No, but that's tough.
Yeah.
And by the way, the first loss, which was to Milwaukee, was much more a product of the schedule and what happened going into that game with double OT in Boston the previous night than it was about Milwaukee being a better team than the Warriors or anything like that. So,
but Milwaukee looked like they were playing their best. I watched a ton of that game.
Oh, they did. And they beat the Warriors soundly in that game, but the very same performance from Milwaukee is a losing performance if the Warriors are on their game. So, I don't want to overthink the loss, and I wouldn't necessarily say it tells you much about what they're going to do going forward outside of the fact that it's really hard to play double overtime in one city and then fly and play somewhere else the next night when you're missing a starter or two, by the way.
By the way, you're out there in the Bay, and maybe you guys can get this started. Milwaukee's coming in a couple of weeks.
Yes, right? Friday, actually.
A couple of days, rather. Yeah. I would really love to see a section of the Oracle with shirts that had the Bucks record on it.
And like 10-16 or whatever.
Yeah, what I mean? Something like that. I just think that would be really funny.
I agree. The Bucks team store is now selling Streak Busters shirts.
Well, look, if you're in the Bucks marketing department, ain't that much to hang your hat on. You know what I mean? It's and see Greek Freak.
It's
and
tough because
Jason Kidd's our coach.
Well, the problem is they should be
it's
good.
It's bobblehead night.
That's the issue. I mean? The real issue is they should be a good team, and they're not right now. Yeah. And they have the talent to be much better than their record. So the bragging about other people's records is a little unseemly, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and look, I get it. I get it. You know what I mean? I get it. I get why they did it. Now it's time to crack back a little bit.
Yes. And based on what I heard from Draymond Green on the radio yesterday, the Warriors are aware of the Bucks bragging, and they may be brought to bear with that on Friday.
Yes. I like the Warriors minus whatever in that game. Put it that way.
Agreed.
if you'd like to win some money, they can't make that line high enough.
I agree.
Let's pivot. I want to pivot to the year in Google. Because this has been in the news today. Google announced their, top trending things for the year. And are you curious as to who the top trending people are on Google, the top 10 trending people?
Yeah.
Now, this is not including deaths. If you died, it didn't count. They have a separate category for that.
Okay. I don't know how to feel about that. It's a little morbid, but all right.
Well, you'll see in a minute because the number one trending person on Google for the year 2015 is Lamar Odom.
Oh, man.
Almost a death.
Yeah. Thank God it's not a death.
Yeah, thank God. I feel like we haven't had a lot of Lamar updates lately.
No, I don't know what's going on. I don't even really know if he's still in the hospital. But then, you know what? As strange as this may seem, I'm kind of glad to not have Lamar updates because I feel like maybe he's being left alone, which I think would be good for everybody.
I agree.
That's probably not true, but it'd be great if people would leave him the hell alone and let him recover.
Let's roll through the rest of this. It'd be great if the Kardashians would leave him alone.
Seriously.
Speaking of which, Caitlyn Jenner in there at number two.
Yeah, that makes sense for multiple reasons. Quick note on Google, just since we're talking Google Analytics in a fun way, a friend of mine who I won't mention his name just in case this is gauche in some way, just started his career in sort of web and computer science-y stuff working for a startup that was all about mining Google data. For sort of, what's the word, for research uses for companies that are trying to sell stuff, essentially. And just, you know, a couple jobs later, but just took a job with Google trying to essentially stop the people like him who are trying to mine Google for data. So I don't know how that affects our analytics, but I just think that's a funny Google story.
I love that he just joined the Borg, basically.
Yeah, he essentially joined the Borg after, you know, years after, like, selling the company that he helped start. He is now
just
part of the machine.
Him. I must become them.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
It's a quintessential Bay Area story. All right, so,
so Lamar Odom,
so
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner, Ronda Rousey.
Wait, quick question.
Yeah.
Would searches for Bruce fall under the Caitlyn umbrella?
You'd have to ask Google.
Okay.
So I'm going to say yes.
All right.
Ronda Rousey, number four, Donald Trump. Almost thought he would be higher. Actually,
yeah, I guess that. Well, back, I bet in the last 6 months, I bet Donald Trump is number one.
Yeah, that's probably a good bet, and that's all I'm gonna say about that before we surge out of the toy department.
Okay.
Ruby Rose.
Wait, hold on, Can we say? I mean, it's not necessarily getting out of the toy department to say that guy, is it?
It might be.
Oh, my bad. Okay, that's all I really have on that.
But you know what?
I'm not a political animal, but that's my feeling.
That's an acceptable reason to stray out. That was a huge comment, really. Just one of the biggest comments of all time.
Yeah.
All right. So Ruby Rose at number five. Sheen.
Who?
At Ruby Rose. Oh, Ruby Rose is a model, actress, maybe does some porn.
Ruby Rose, should I Google? Is it safe to Google?
You should, yeah, she's gorgeous.
Okay.
She was in Orange is the New Black.
Was she the new tattooed chick with the half-shaved head?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fan. Oh, yeah, Ruby Rose, absolutely. She was number five?
Yeah.
Australian model. Okay, hold on a second, though. That's why?
Well, I think a lot of people watched Orange is the New Black and said,
that many for her to be the number five name on Google?
Yeah, she's one of those like millennial people that is way more popular than you realize.
Must
be.
I didn't even know her name. That's crazy. Yeah, right behind Donald Trump.
Right behind Donald Trump.
Ooh,
and then right just ahead.
I have great news. Just in Googling Ruby Rose, I found she is in an upcoming movie that is already one of my top 10 movies of the last 10 years. Do you know what that movie is?
No.
Well, it's a two. So it follows a movie that was already.
Okay, so it's the sequel to one of the.
To a movie that's already in my top 10 movies of the last 10 years. and it's a movie that has almost no plot or really storytelling at all.
Is it Creed 2?
No.
No.
Whoa, that was a shot at Creed.
Was it? I just meant why
I said no plot.
Favorite movies. I haven't seen Creed. How do I know there's a plot?
Well, there's a delightful Rocky involved plot in that one. No, this movie involves Keanu Reeves and a dog. Do you know what film I'm talking about now?
Keanu Reeves and a dog.
Correct.
Is it A Scanner Darkly?
No, John Wick. Did you not see John Wick?
Oh, you know what? No, I haven't. I've seen like little pieces of it on HBO.
Oh, you should watch. I mean, if you are an action movie person at all, you should watch it. It is peak action movie stuff. Classic Keanu.
Okay. Let me throw out, by the way, while we're throwing out movies.
That was a long detour to say Ruby Rose is going to be in
Super
John Wick 2. John Wick 2. I'm into it.
Really underrated movie on HBO. Just kind of started on HBO. What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes.
Have you seen any of this?
No.
You know anything about
I know of that movie, though. It's on my long movie list.
It is a mockumentary about vampires starring Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and a few other things. And it cracked me up. And most people I've ever brought it up to have never heard of it. And now it's on HBO and on HBO Go. So,
yeah, all right.
Take a couple minutes. You'll enjoy that.
Okay. What We Do in the Shadows. Let's write that down. Oh, speaking of writing stuff down, I meant to do time notes of where we changed topics today so I don't have to listen back, but I forgot already.
But now you're screwed. Yep. Okay, so we've got Ruby Rose, then Charlie Sheen.
Okay, makes sense.
Brian Williams.
Wow. Okay, good for him. I guess the movie, whatever it was called, the Paul Dano, John Cusack movie, brought him back into our minds.
No, you're thinking Brian Wilson.
What'd you say?
Brian Williams.
Oh, the news anchor.
Disgraced news anchor Brian Williams, yes.
Wasn't his disgrace like 2 years ago?
No, that was this year.
Wow. God.
Early this year.
Stuff really happens fast in 2015.
Yeah. Number eight on this list. I'm curious to see if you remember this name.
We have not gotten to any sports names yet except Odom, huh?
Which doesn't really
count.
Odom's the only one.
Okay.
Number eight is Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Remember her?
Fake black lady.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Number nine is Adele.
Yeah. Okay. I'd have thought she'd be higher.
Yeah. You know, came on late in the year.
Right.
Right.
Her and Trump, I think, in the last 6 months might be the top two.
Yeah. By the way, the Adele record is the number one selling record of 2015. It's been out for 3 weeks.
Have you listened to it?
A little bit.
Are you an Adele fan?
I respect Adele. Mm-hmm. I like some Adele songs.
Okay.
I thought 21 was a really good record.
Yes.
This record, a little bit middle of the roadie for me.
Tend to agree.
Yeah.
And I was a big fan of 21.
Number 10 on this list, Josh Duggar. Duggar? Duggar?
I have no idea, and I know who that is, but have no interest in that discussion at all.
And here's the thing about this list.
It's upsetting.
It is upsetting. It is upsetting. America loves a car wreck, don't they?
Absolutely.
That's like what you get from this,
right? Nothing has been more proven over time either. I mean, this obviously is a nice data point, but America has made it very clear that we enjoy nothing more than a horrifying car wreck for years now.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is like there must be a lot of like hate Googling going on. Right.
I think some of it's hate Googling and some of it is honestly just facts.
Have you Googled Donald Trump at any point?
I've probably not Googled Donald Trump as in just that two word phrase, but I may, much to my own chagrin, at some point have Googled, you know, something to get a feel for what the hell stupid idiot thing he just said.
Right. Okay.
Although, again, I'm really not a political animal, so I'm probably on the outside, but I would imagine that many people of my ilk who are more into politics have Googled things about Trump just because maybe they saw something on Twitter like, wait a second, did he really say that? And then you Google.
Yeah. All right, check out the top 10 actors, and I'm just going to roll through this list really quick
because
I think it proves the point. And there are a couple guys in here I don't know.
Okay.
But here's your top 10 actors. Charlie Sheen.
Sure.
Bill Cosby.
Oh, boy.
Taylor Kinney.
Which one's he?
I don't know.
Okay.
Scott Eastwood.
Don't know him.
This one's the most random. James Earl Jones.
Is that a Star Wars thing?
I have no idea. Can't explain that one.
Goodness. Okay, go ahead.
All right. Tom Holland. Eddie Redmayne.
Sure.
Then you got Gary Busey, Randy Quaid, and Tracy Morgan.
So
these are most Google that.
We're figuring Tracy Morgan from the car crash and probably silly things he's said. Holland is the
Randy
new.
Randy Quaid, all that stuff. Busey, you know what Busey's getting, you know, Googled for. Cosby.
Tom Holland is the new Spider-Man. So that's a reasonably positive thing.
And do we figure out what Taylor Kinney is? And Scott Eastwood, is that Clint Eastwood's kid?
All right, let's see.
I got to Google him now.
All right,
this is what happens.
Yeah, we're contributing to it. Taylor Kinney, I don't know. He's married or he's dating Lady Gaga, I guess. Could that be it? He was in Zero Dark 30. He's on Chicago Fire and Chicago PD.
I don't know.
So I don't know. I don't know why he's, but I bet it's the lady. I bet it's dating Lady Gaga that has him getting Googled.
Yeah, Scott Eastwood is Clint Eastwood's kid, but I'm not really sure. He must have got in trouble for something.
Gran Torino, Flags of Our Fathers. Let's see. Yeah. Wikipedia would probably tell us what he got in trouble for.
I'm on it right now.
He's in the Snowden biopic.
I guess.
I don't know
if
that would
be. It doesn't seem
like
that's going to. He was in a Taylor Swift video? I don't know.
Could it be a Taylor Swift video that made. You think.
America, you're strange. You like car wrecks and you're strange. This is what I'm learning from your Google habits.
Yeah, he does look like a young Clint. I'll give him that.
All right, we got to get out of here soon. I have a little quiz. Do you want to do a little music quiz?
Absolutely. I love a music quiz.
I did terribly on this quiz.
I don't know what that says about me and my ability, but let's find out.
This is a popular music quiz based on your Google Analytics. So these are the 10 most lyrically searched songs
oh, wow.
of 2015. And I'm going to give you a lyric with a blank, and you got to fill in the blank. I can go multiple choice here, since I have a feeling that you probably will need them.
Okay, well, let's find out.
Okay, number one, this is from Blank Space by Taylor Swift.
Oh, you're going to tell me the song?
I'll tell you the song, yeah,
okay,
sure.
All right.
Cherry Lips, blank, I Could Show You Incredible Things. Is it Battle Cries, Crystal Skies, Diamond Ties, or Golden Prize?
The second one.
Crystal Skies.
Yeah.
That is correct. Look at you.
Yeah. Don't say I didn't warn you.
All right, this is Bruno Mars, Mark Ronson of Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk.
Okay, I feel good about this.
Okay. I'm too hot, hot damn, make blank, man. And is it make a dragon want to retire, make a boy want to become a man, make a tiger a bit jealous, man, make a fire light on fire, man?
Did you come up with these multiple choices?
I did not. I stole
okay.
this from
Okay, make a fire, want a fire. Make a dragon, want to retire, man. Too hot.
That is correct. Look
yeah.
at you.
Yeah.
All right, here's Adele and Hello at number three. I think this is one of the ones I got. When we were younger and free, I've forgotten how it felt blank.
Mm-hmm.
Before we let it all go sweet. So long before we had to flee. Oof. When we were who we used to be. Before the world fell at our feet.
Oh, man. Can you give me the line one more time?
When we were younger and free, I've forgotten how it felt blank.
Sorry, and the choice is one more time.
Before we let it all go sweet, so long before we had to flee, when we were who we used to be, and before the world fell at our feet.
I'm going to say the third one, before who we used to be.
Ah, the answer was the fourth one, before the world fell at our feet. All right, to Hozier, Take Me to Church.
Yeah.
She is the last true mouthpiece, every Sunday blank. Makes me more weak, is a new week, it's a low peak, is getting more bleak. I feel like there's some insight into Hozier.
It is a new week, although I'm going to say it's the third one.
It's a low peak.
Yeah.
It's getting more bleak. Is the answer.
Okay, same idea. I was on the right track.
All right, we move on to The Hills by The Weeknd, a song Ooh. That I literally...
I don't know that one well enough. Yeah, if it was I Can't Feel My Face Without You, I'd have a better shot. Yeah.
I only call you when blank.
Without you? When I'm with you. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. I only call you when blank. Mm-hmm. It's 9:30. It's just our time. It's just at night. It's 5:30.
Could you read the middle two again?
It's just our time. It's just at night.
I'm going to say the 9:31.
All right, 9:30. No, the answer is 5:30.
Oh.
Yeah. It's really amazing.
That's a weird time to call someone.
The Weeknd had the year he had with the hair that he has. Right? How did we as Americans decide to let that slide?
I think that I helped.
All right.
It's like it's just kooky enough that it's hard to... It's hard to insult it too much because it's like, what even is that on your head?
Okay.
Right? No, you're not buying that?
It's like
if you have a bad haircut that's like trying to be a version of a haircut that would make sense, but it's all screwed up, that's easy to insult. When you have like a weird crooked pile of dreadlocks on your head, it's like, well, you know that doesn't look reasonable.
Right.
So how can I comment on it? I'm pretty sure you put it there on purpose,
right?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So like, what are you even going to say? It's like, well, he knows what that looks like and he did it anyway. So I guess he's invulnerable.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. All right. The number five song, most Googled song of the year is Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud.
Oof. I'm not sure I would even recognize that if I heard it.
And I actually have heard this one. And darling, I will be loving you till we're blank. And is it 17, 93, 70, or 23?
Boy, that's a tough multiple choice. I'm going to, I'm going to go with the never go with the extreme guesses and say 73.
Well, there's,
or 70.
There's
70.
70, yes. 70 is correct.
Yeah.
You just pulled that one out of your ass.
I did indeed.
All right. Hotline bling. Ready for some hotline bling?
I know when that hotline bling. It could only mean one thing.
Ever since I what left is that? The city, you.
Sorry. Yes, I know this one. Let's go.
All right. You got exactly what you asked for, running out of blank. Pages in your passport, chances to close the door, time for your last call, or names for your latest score, or goofy dances.
Goofy dances and passport pages.
Pages in your passport. That is correct.
Yeah, I know that one. That one was the, I was at a wedding in New Orleans this week, and I have to say, bunch of 30 to 35-year-olds got down never more than to Hotline Bling. It was pretty great.
All right, I got to be honest. I don't know what song this comes from. So there's a video and everything, and I still can't tell. I think this one is, I think this one is Wiz Khalifa. Ooh. See you again. I think.
When
but it could
see
be Fetty Wap
again, right? Okay. Yeah, I got it. That's right, it's the fast and so furious.
Oh yeah,
so fast,
yeah, because he's yeah.
Yeah, Paul Walker, R.I.P.
I have only seen the first Fast and the Furious.
What?
Am I like, do I actually really need to go watch these movies?
I feel like based on the John Wick information I got earlier and this information, maybe you're just not a big action movie guy.
Like, I'm bored with action movies, yeah.
Okay, because if you like a brainless action movie, both the Fast and Furious series, obviously some better than others, but the last couple have been beautiful, brainless action
I think
stuff.
That's my problem. I like action movies. I need a brain. It's got to have, I need a character and a story and a reason to care.
Well, I guess I would say, I'll
porn movie all day long, you know what I mean? Like
sure.
That kind of thing.
Do you like dogs?
I do like dogs.
Then I would start with John Wick before I went to the Fast and Furious franchise.
Okay.
Because
if I like cars?
What if I like
Jordana Brewster?
Who doesn't? If you like cars, that'll help you with Fast and Furious. But if you like dogs, you'll have a reason to care about John Wick and his mission.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
I could just watch Marley and Me.
That's sad.
Which I wouldn't do.
No.
All right, so here you go. This is the Wiz Khalifa. First, you both go out your way and the blank.
Oh, man.
First, you both go out your way and the blank. Road is far too long. Path turns out wrong. Goal is to be long. Or vibe is feeling strong?
The first one.
I believe the answer is vibe is feeling strong.
No.
Yeah, man, it sure is.
Oh, goodness. Yeah,
that's a terrible lyric.
That is bad. I wonder what it rhymes with.
Yeah, I don't, it's something about his dong. Oh. I think this is Fetty Wap. Does Fetty Wap only have one eye?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Let's find out.
When Fetty did I get Wap. Old?
All right. Yes, well, I'll tell you this. When you type in Fetty Wap to Google, the first recommendation is Fetty Wap Eye.
All right, there we go.
It's unclear to me whether, let's see, Fetty Wap Eye. Yeah, lost his eye, absolutely.
Man. Okay, I just blank. I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah, and I could ride with my baby. I'm just blank. I'm getting fly with my baby, yeah,
so this
and
is,
I can ride
this
with
is
my baby.
This is definitely Trap Queen.
Okay, it's close to call, about to brawl, want a ball, or left the mall.
Whew.
All great options for things to be doing.
Boy, I'm going to say, I feel like it's just left the mall with my, I'm getting fly with my, yeah, I think it's
it
just
is
left
indeed.
The mall.
Just left the mall.
Wow.
Just left the mall. All right, last one. This is Cheerleader. By Omi, O-M-I? I don't even know how you say
it. Never heard of it.
Yeah, this was like the number one song for like 7 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Is it amazing how things happen in the world and we can have no idea?
Yeah.
All right. All these other girls are tempting, but I'm blank when you're gone.
Oh, boy.
Hurting, bitter, lonely, or empty?
Empty.
Empty? Is correct.
Yes, nailed it.
Look at you.
That's just good. That's just good sound logic right there.
6 out of 10. That is perfectly acceptable.
All right. I feel good. I feel pretty good.
You're an actual member of our culture.
Yeah.
I work in the music industry and I get 2 out of 10.
I think that's actually probably good. You know, I think what this really represents is I've wasted a lot of time listening to music I don't really care about.
Right. See, and I think that it says a lot about the modern music industry, right? Is that people don't have to listen to things they don't care about anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like the fact that I've been to a couple of large parties recently has helped me with some of those lyrics, just because I've heard Hotline Bling and a couple. Although I gotta say, I honestly, we should talk about Drake sometime. I don't know what your feelings are on Drake.
We should talk about Drake sometime.
But I have
very conflicting feelings about Drake.
Me as well. But I think Hotline Bling, certainly top five Drake songs. I think it's a pretty damn good song.
I agree. I'm just gonna say this. The sum total of the top five Drake songs, massively overrated.
Yeah, probably.
When you look at the body of work, that guy should not be one of the superstars of music.
No, but when you look at the talent, I think he should. And I think that's what's interesting about Drake.
I agree with that. I'm not saying he's not talented. And
no, he's incredibly talented, but
he's a star.
He has not made enough good music. I totally agree with that.
Uh-huh. Had some jams, but... I don't know. When you go back and look through it, you know what I mean? I was like,
yeah. And when you listen to his albums, there's just too much fluff.
I went through this because I went to Austin City Limits with a friend who is completely not hip hop fluent, and Drake was headlining.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm, you know, not a Drake expert, but I'm trying to explain to someone who has literally no conception of Drake
why is he
what
famous?
The big deal is. Yeah. And you start going through the songs and you're like, well, you know this one, right?
It's like, nah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if I'd have done this quiz, you know, with the equivalent songs 20 years ago, I would have aced it. You know.
Oh, I think I would have as well.
Probably 10 for 10.
Yeah.
But now I'm 2 for 10.
Anywhere between like 13 and 20, I think I would have aced that.
And one of those was because we played a cover of that Taylor Swift song on the old station.
By who?
By the band I Prevail. It's like loud hard rock cover. Of,
I dig that.
Blank Space.
You ever listen to Me First and the Gimme Gimmes?
I have, yes.
I always enjoyed their oeuvre, although it's, you know, it's not something you necessarily sit down and listen to for long stretches. I always found them entertaining and fun.
It's a, you know, it's a one-trick pony with those guys.
It is. Like, it is. But a hard rock version of Blowing in the Wind, you know, like I enjoy that sort of stuff. Mandy, they do an incredible, Me First and the Gimme Gimme's do an incredible Mandy. Just like,
really?
Yeah, it's short and sweet and loud and awesome. I recommend it.
And it gives without taking?
It does. It does indeed. Well played. So if it had been a Barry Manilow lyrics quiz, you also would have excelled.
I think that and Like a Good Neighbor, State Farm is there. That's pretty much all I got.
Oh, come on. I was
so
going to say, you've got that one. You've got Nationwide as well. That was obvious.
Yeah, you know, that one, that might be my theme song, actually. If I could think of any song that summed me up in the year 2015, it would be Chicken Parm, You Taste So Good. Oh, all right. I think that on that note, we probably ought to wrap it up for this week.
I tend to agree.
And watch Fargo so we can talk about that whenever the hell we get back, and we'll have that fish conversation. And
I'm going to write as soon as I find a pen and around this silly studio, I'm going to write Fargo in big letters on my hand. I did just start watching a new show last night called Expanse. Have you seen that?
No.
It's being well reviewed. It's a sci-fi thing, and it's a friend of mine described it to me as like an answer to the non-existence of Battlestar Galactica.
Okay.
So I'm checking that out. But yeah,
that is a sentence that I do not understand at all.
You never watched Battlestar Galactica?
Like the original, and I tried a little bit with that reboot that everyone loved, and it just didn't grab.
You watched I didn't even know about the original, but the reboot I quite enjoyed. So maybe you're not a space show guy.
Space Firefly? Movies I'm more into than TV shows.
You watch Firefly?
No.
What?
Yeah.
Well, you may need to watch Firefly. It's only 14 episodes, and
I'm not watching anything until you watch the damn last episode of Fargo, though.
I gotta watch the whole. Deal. Now, let me ask you this: do I have to watch? Like, if I've got, you know, if we're gonna let's table our Fargo discussion till the new year, whether or not we have an episode next week or the week after.
Right.
Let's say Fargo in the new year. Now, do I need to watch season one?
No.
So skip season one. Just start with season two.
Have you not watched any of Fargo?
I have not seen
two?
A single episode of Fargo at all.
God,
I haven't seen any Fargo.
Yeah, you should not be watching dumb shows about things in space when Fargo is available.
Okay, I buy that.
I'm not even cracking on dumb shows on things in space.
No,
I just mean it's the best thing on TV.
I've heard that from multiple sources.
It's an achievement.
You do not have to sell me. However, have to convince me that I can skip season one because I'm kind of a completist.
Yeah, you can absolutely skip season one.
I won't miss anything.
It's an anthology. There's a mild relationship. The season two is essentially the telling of a story that is sort of briefly told in season one. A character tells the story about something that happened to him when he's much younger, and season two is the story of that. There's nothing, there are references to season one and things like that connect the two. But if you're seeing them, and yeah, you're not going to miss anything by not appreciating those references. It's an anthology. It's totally different people.
Okay.
Even the characters who are the same in the story are played by different actors. Okay. Yeah. So
all right.
You'll be fine.
I recommend
season one. It's great, but it's not necessary to watch season two.
I'll see how the time works out, but I'm going to dive into Fargo. I will do that.
It's supremely bingeable. Nice. Once you get going, you're not going to want to stop.
I like a bingeable show. I like to binge. Right. That's a weird thing to say.
So am I getting any homework over this break?
Gosh, I don't know. I assume you're going to this premiere on Friday. I'll see Star Wars Saturday. So
I'm
going to
see Star Wars. I'll see Creed. Not that we kind of already had our Creed discussion.
Yeah.
We could circle back briefly
on that. I got to see Spotlight as well. So we can get, maybe just, I would say if there's any homework, try to squeeze in as many Oscar-y movies as possible. Cause we'll probably want to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Okay. And, bone up on Fetty Wap. All right.
I'll learn what happened to that eye.
I'm not going to bone up on Fetty Wap. Okay. We'll talk to you next week or whatever.
Sounds good.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling and the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.